Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in the last days, the end times, between our Lord's first coming in Bethlehem and his second coming on the last day. Jesus first came to redeem the world, but he will come again in order to judge the world. His first coming, he came in humility, especially by means of his death upon the cross, but his second coming will be in glory. He will come on the clouds of heaven. Jesus first came to bear sin, but his second coming will be to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Christ will come again, but we don't know what day he will come. It's foolish for us, or anyone for that matter, to try and figure out which day Jesus will come. And for that matter, we really don't know when death will come to us either. And so we always must be prepared. We should watch and pray. We should repent of our sins and receive the forgiveness of sins. In our Holy Gospel for today, Jesus gives us four signs of the end. Now, as we will learn, that the signs of the end have always been around, they are with us today, and they will always continue. The signs of the end have occurred in every century, to be sure, but as we get closer to the last day, these signs will intensify. The first sign that our Lord gives to us in our Holy Gospel for today is the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. This happened in 70 AD. Jesus said, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Jesus was talking about the temple. Now, Jesus is the real temple. He is God in human flesh. And furthermore, he is the real high priest. And as a high priest, he is offering himself up as a final sacrifice for the sins of all. We heard about that in our epistle reading from the book of Hebrews. And so because Jesus made that perfect sacrifice, there's no need for an animal sacrifice. Because Jesus is the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God, there is no need then for the temple in Jerusalem. Because Jesus is the real and living temple, our bodies also are temples of the Holy Spirit. But the Jewish people at that time did not believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. They did not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Furthermore, they made the temple their idol. And there in the temple, they treated the temple, and they made the temple into a den of thieves and robbers. Again, now that Jesus died and rose again, there's no need for a stone temple. And so, in 70 AD, God had the Romans, led by Titus, destroy the temple in Jerusalem. And so Jesus' prophecy came true. Now, the destruction of the temple was a sign for the first century only. However, it foreshadows events in the end times. The destruction of the temple is a warning for all of us not to become like those Jewish leaders and to reject the gospel and to resist the Holy Spirit. Those who remain in unbelief will be cast out from our God's presence on the last day. So again, we are all called to repent, to believe in the gospel, to confess our sins, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to hear preaching of law and gospel, and to receive the Lord's Supper. The second sign in our Holy Gospel for today does apply to our generation and every generation for that matter, namely the warning against false teachers and false doctrine. Jesus said, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." So false doctrine has always been among us and around us ever since the day of Pentecost. Satan is alive and active, and he will fight against God's word and promote false doctrine. St. Paul says that we live in what's called a spiritual warfare. Some liberal denominations teach that the Bible is, it's only merely a human book of stories and myths. They also teach that Jesus was merely and only a social reformer, not someone who atoned for the sins and rose from the dead. From many pulpits, the law and the gospel are not preached, but rather a message of salvation by works is preached. Yes, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy, quote, "Many will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." And again, just before Jesus returns, there will be many who will fall away from the faith. Again, beware of false prophets. Jesus says that in another place, he says, people say, "Hey, look in the wilderness," or "look in the inner room." But Jesus will not be found in the wilderness. He will not be found in the inner rooms. Don't believe it. Jesus is not promised to be found in these places. Beware of truth that is, beware of false doctrine that claims to base its truth on emotions or subjective feelings, but rather truth is found in God's word and his word alone. Jesus, where is he present? He was present in your baptism, giving you his robe of righteousness. Jesus is present where the word of God is read and preached. Jesus is found where there is bread and wine, giving to us his true body and blood. God is present in Christ Jesus with his grace and mercy, with forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. The third sign that Jesus gives in the Holy Gospel for today is the sign of divine judgment, such as wars, earthquakes, and famines. Jesus said, "There will be wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines." And so, as you know, wars have always taken place, and they will continue. There have been and will continue to be earthquakes, famines, tsunamis, hurricanes, drought, wildfires, floods, and the list goes on. Again, these things will continue. Most recently, our world has suffered COVID. All of these things remind us that we live in a fallen world, which has been cursed since the fall. And these things remind us or encourage us that we should always repent of our sins, believe in the gospel, confess our sins, receive the forgiveness of sins, and receive the Lord's Supper. The fourth and final sign that's in our Holy Gospel for today is a sign of persecution. First of all, persecution will come from the unbelieving world. Jesus said, "They will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before me. They will bring you to trial and deliver you over." Then Jesus goes on to talk about persecution from unbelieving family members. Listen, he says, And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father, his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. So unfortunately, the Christian will experience hostility and persecution from an unbelieving world, and the Christian will also be betrayed even by unbelieving family members. These things have always taken place, and they will continue until the last day. Now, here in America, we have the freedom to believe in Christ, to worship, to express our faith in Christ, but unfortunately, our religious freedoms are being taken away. Christianity is ridiculed. People suffer for the faith. The unbelieving world is hostile to you because you confess to be a sinner in need of the gospel, because you live a repentant life. You are sorry for your sins, and you receive the forgiveness of sins. The unbelieving world is hostile to you because you are baptized into Christ, because you confess Christ as your one and only Savior, and not a government official as a God. It's because you believe in the forgiveness of sins. It's because you hold the Word of God to be your only source of truth. Truth regarding the union of one man and one woman in marriage, and that sexuality is to be reserved only within marriage. Furthermore, you hold to the Word of God, which teaches that life begins in the womb. We live in a culture that no longer values life, no longer believes in God, no longer thinks that there is absolute truth. We live in a culture of idolatry and a disrespect for authority, of sexual immorality and of selfishness. Evil is all around us, and we are constantly being lied to by the culture, the state, non-Christian institutions, entertainment, media, education, and the list goes on and on. Our faith is under constant assault, yet not at the point of martyrdom. I use the word hostility. There's a hostility against Christianity today. The devil is certainly alive and active. He attacks God's word. He attacks pastors and churches and the preaching of the gospel. He seeks to destroy marriage and family and society. He causes our world to become increasingly pagan and immoral. We are in a spiritual warfare. But nevertheless, Christ won the victory. Your sins are paid for by the blood of Christ. Christ defeated your enemy death by his resurrection, and the devil is defeated as well. In Christ there is the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. So don't compromise with the devil and go the way of unbelief. Don't give in to the increase of immorality in our culture. You are a baptized Lamb of God. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are of Christ. You are a light in a dark world. By God's grace, remain faithful to God's word and to the confession of Christ as your only Savior. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that they may be converted to faith in Christ. Teach your children the Word of God. Attend the divine service and receive the Lord's Supper on a regular basis. Living the Christian life in the midst of a pagan world is not easy. But remember, Christ won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. God will make sure that the gates of hell will never prevail against our Lord's church. The gospel and the sacraments will continue for your sake. And even in the midst of opposition, trial, suffering, hostility, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, there are four signs of the end times that we learned about this morning. The sign of the destruction of the temple, the sign of false doctrine, the sign of wars and and earthquake and famines, and finally, the sign of persecution. Now, there are other signs mentioned in the Gospel of Mark and Matthew and Luke as well. However, these signs and all the others will be more evident and they will increase as the end approaches. The good news, again, is that Christ paid for your sins. He defeated our enemies of death and the devil. Our resurrected Lord now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He is ruling the world for the sake of His church, and things may not go our way, but God is always in control. Be of good cheer. God is with you always by means of gospel and sacrament. God is your refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Christ is your light and your salvation. There is nothing to fear. Christ is your strength. There is nothing to be afraid of. Christ is your good shepherd, and you are His dear lamb within His fold. You are baptized into Christ. You are redeemed with the blood of Christ. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. And here at the altar, you partake of our Lord's body and blood. So be of good cheer. When Christ will return, we will lift up our heads with joy because our full redemption of our eternal life in heaven is just right around the corner. Titus chapter 2 says, "We wait for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ." Why? Why do we wait for Him? Because our true citizenship is not here, but in heaven, which we eagerly await. And Hebrews chapter 13 says that we do not have an enduring city here on earth, but heaven is our home. May God preserve you in His kingdom. And our prayer today and always is, come, Lord Jesus, come and receive us home to heaven. Amen.